the meter. Okay, say what you were doing with the high school track meet.
I have been involved in the high school track meets early on. I mean, I think back, it must have been 87. That was, I think, the first time they had a state track meet up here. I was a head timer at that track meet. And I've been involved in them ever since, usually just an official, filling in at various slots. I was the starter for many years. The last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, I've been kind of the organizer of all the officials for all the track meets, all in Region 6, plus the state high school track meet, which has been held in Fairbanks for the last 9 years. And
when you say all the track meets, so do they have like a high school track season with dual meets and then leading up to regionals? How's that work?
No, in Fairbanks, all the high schools meet at every week at the one meet. There's not enough schools to set up a dual meet season that makes sense. There's too many discrepancies between the large schools and the small schools and the number of them. So we've always run our meets here as if every one of them's a region meet.
And about how many of them are there before you have the regionals?
There's six total meets in the region, the sixth one being the region meet, and then the seventh meet of the year has been the state track meet. And we have a really terrific Running Club North organization that runs those meets, and have done such a good job at it that the state keeps coming back and begging us to do it again. So we've had quite a long history and a good success of running those track meets. Just this year, they did finally get a contract going for moving the state track meet back to Anchorage for 3 years, which is fine with us.
And you, so for the, you want to cough? Okay, good cough. Let's see. So for, since say 86-ish or 87-ish, to almost the present, you were kind of the guy who organized the officials for those seven meets.
No, I only took over the organizing of all of them approximately the last 5 years. Steve Bainbridge did it before me, and I'm not exactly sure who did it before him. I just remember going. I remember Bob Murphy did it for quite a few years. There's been some gaps when I don't know who did it, but I've always been involved somehow or other. And very regularly for the last 15 years, for sure. I think the job I liked the best was being starter. That was very fun to be right close to the action. And
how come that other guy took over? I don't think he does that good a job.
Oh, he does a great job, actually. Yeah, he's very good at it. And he has a much louder voice.
He holds him too long.
Kind of questions.
Of course, well, I guess they let
supposed to be between one and two sections. Yeah, you got to be careful. And the kids up here have so few track meets that they never really get good at their starts. And they tend to wiggle around and move and fall out of the blocks. And we have always given them the benefit of the doubt that we would rather get them started and then give everybody false starts and not let them run, because they don't have enough meets anyway. And one false start and you're out is the rule. So we that was something I pushed for a long time, is when they are wiggling around, call everybody up. Everybody stand up, and then you tell which lane to calm down. Just calm down. It's not our philosophy to try to be hard-nosed about it and get kids DQ'd.
Right. I think you have been, I should say that I have been helped out officiating for, I don't know, 5 years at the state meet.
My philosophy. It's about the kids and the kids' experience, and it is easy to get caught up in the rules, but there's lots of ways of looking at things, and it's the kids that are important.
And they are kids.
Yeah.
Personal running career, 32 years old, you had 153.4, and you kept running. You were a fixture in the races here in Fairbanks for many years. Say a little bit about your highlights.
Well, I never really trained really hard for longer distances. I tended to win my age group in 5 and 10 Ks. I just did it for purely for enjoyment. it's a yoga-like thing after a while, you know. I still like to go down and do intervals training, and I still like to go compete with guys my age. In the year 2000, I went to the national championships to see, you know, you wonder how good you are. And I felt good. I trained hard, usually doing intervals all by myself. Maybe for a whole summer and never go to a race. Because there aren't any really good races in Fairbanks. So when I turned 50, I decided, well, let's just go see. So I went down to University of Oregon in Eugene down there, track capital of the world, and entered the 50 to 54-year-old age group, 800 meters.
What race?
800 meters.
What meet?
Oh, it was the national championships.
Put on.
Yeah, they call it the USTAF, United States Track and Field Association, National Track Championships. And I took second place. Guy from New York beat me. He was a very good athlete. I was proud of that. I hadn't. Most of the guys that go to those track meets are racing in these track meets all summer long and getting better and better, and I show up at one meet, the one meet I get every 5 years, and jump in and run as hard as I can. I took second. So then in 2010.
Wait. What was your time?
I'm not sure I remember that, Dan. The times are start getting murky because you get a slower every year. It's almost like you lose a second every year. It's not exactly like that, but if you made a trajectory from 19 when I was 32 to the time I was 50, what's that? That's 18 seconds. So 18 plus, add 153. Yeah, 7 to 11. About 211 to 12 was my time. You know, it's funny how that happens.
So I'm thinking, and I think I heard, that, like you say, a lot of these runners, they've all seen each other in lots of meets and so on. And people must have been saying, who the heck is that guy?
I did get that, a little bit of that, the first time I did, I'll bet it's not a huge group maybe that follows this sport. There's probably some guys that wonder who the heck that guy from Alaska is. And I haven't been down to very many meets. Like I said, I went to the international meet in San Sebastian, Spain in 2005, which was really a lot of fun. There was like 9,000 athletes there, and the track meet goes on for a week. And starts out with 65 guys my age group in the 800. Which they whittled down to, after the first race, to 16. And then they whittled down after the second heat to 8, and 8 guys go to the finals. And these guys are from all over the world. And I made it through the first round pretty easy. The second round, I barely made it through, actually. I was in the race with the guy who eventually was the winner of the whole thing, and I got pretty competitive with him and burned myself out a little bit on that race. So I kind of staggered in at the end of the second race, but I still had the eighth fastest time. So I got to go to the finals. And then the next day was the finals, which was the high point. I mean, just walking into the stadium, knowing... say a sentence before you turn it on.
So we're back after our little break. And you're getting into the finals, but also give me the formal name of this meet.
The international name is the Masters. I hadn't thought about that for a second. The Masters Federation of International Track and Field Association, and they have track meets every 2 years in a different country. It's been going on for quite a while, and they have age groups from 50, well, to as old as people want to compete, really.
Masters Federation of International
Track and Field Association. I think, does that sound like too many words? I'm sorry, I hadn't thought of the real name in a while.
So you got to the finals.
Yeah.
In the stadium.
Well, I made it to the finals, and that was my goal when I left, was just to make it to the finals. You know, I didn't really care. I remember being really sore, totally sore from the day before, Well, I had tried to keep up with the guy I knew was the number one rated guy from England, Robert Minder. And he had the fastest time in the world that year. And I was always pretty competitive on the track, so I kind of burned my muscles a little bit. But I didn't care. I mean, we walked from where we all had to collect, and there were just a few of us, and we were all friendly with each other and chatting, and I chatted with Robert, and two guys from Australia were there, and a couple of Germans, and Spaniard was in the finals, and I can't remember what other, there was a guy from Austria, and we walked through the practice stadium together, a beautiful sunny day, and walked into the beautiful stadium where the finals were held. And I just remember being so proud to be there, just in that scene. And didn't care that I felt terrible. And my muscles were sore. And anyway, I was in lane 8 because I had the slowest qualifying time, which was fine with me. And we started off, and I pretty much stayed near the back of the pack, just testing my legs, and made it through the first lap okay, and thought, well, you know, there's no sense staying here, and I just started putting on a little extra effort and moved, started passing people, moved all the way up to fifth place, and was just about to pass that guy from New Zealand, but I had started my kick a little too late. I'm sure I could have got fourth, but I got fifth, and by God, the fifth fastest guy in the world is okay with me for a guy from Fairbanks. Don't know. It was yeah, I was thinking back on that other time I gave you. That wasn't quite right. That year in 2000, I'm pretty sure it was a 208 something. This time was like a was closer to the 212.
And you're 55 years old.
I was 55 years old. And I felt good about that. I was really happy.
Yeah, pretty good.
And then I did two more before I quit. I went the next year to the Huntsman Senior Games, which is the largest senior games in the United States outside the championship, but it's in St. George, Utah. And showed up there and won that meet, and it was the 20th running of the event, and I set a new record for the age group at 213 about. And then
record for that meet.
Record for the still holding record for the Huntsman Senior Games. And then in 2010. I went back to the national championships that was in Sacramento, California.
National championships are the senior games?
No, the senior games is different than the USTAF. The USTAF championships are actually a much, are usually higher caliber, more difficult competition than the senior games. And that was in Sacramento State College, Sacramento, near my hometown. So went down there and picked my dad up, and we drove up to the motel up there and stayed for 3 days and watched some of the events. It was terribly hot, though. It was 100 degrees. And I entered the race again just to see. Yeah, just see how you do. It's like I said, like every 5 years, you sort of wonder how you're doing. And it makes sense to go when you're the young guy in that age group, believe it or not. Like I told you, if you think about it as being a second a year, well, you better go when you're 50, not 54. Anyway, I entered the race there, and I took second again. There's always some guy that can beat me. But he was the other guy that could beat me. There's always been two guys in the United States that have been able to beat me. One in New York, Alston Brown, and the other in Los Angeles, Merlin Shahid. And they're both terrific guys. I met them and met a few other guys that had been at the meet 10 years before. It was fun to just say hi again and strike up a relationship. And I had not met Merlin Shahid before that. He'd been an American record holder for years. I think he had the world record for a while. He was quite a bit better than me. I gave him a run for his money, though. He only beat me by 0.9 seconds, but he has run faster times, quite a bit faster.
At Sacramento.
Yeah.
Who was the guy who won in Eugene?
That was Ashton Brown.
New York. Was he a Jamaican guy or something?
I'm not sure. Rastafarian looking. big hair, big, dreads and everything. Good runner. Really good runner. Both those guys are very good runners. They run at a lot of different events. They would run the mile and the 5K and and all kinds of different events and pretty much win everything they ever ran at. I was a guy who got lucky to train here. Run in style in the winter and get a few intervals in the summer before it's time to go to the track meet. So there was some disadvantage there too. But they were truly talented guys. I'm not sure we could have beat them, but it was an honor to run against them. It really was. They were terrific guys, still are.
So many of the distance, middle distance guys are just great people, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. I liked everybody. I liked talking to them and socializing with them. I pretty much decided after that last one, though, that I didn't think I was going to do it anymore. I would and always go to the track to do the intervals as a yoga exercise, as a special place and time in my head. But I didn't think I would ever really feel the need to compete again. I felt after the last one that chapter was behind me. I'm not sure why, but I remember thinking that.
It seemed to me I can remember some story or other in that Eugene race where that nasty guy maybe knew the competition pretty well and just could not believe this unknown guy. He could not shake you.
Yeah.
What was that story?
Well, I don't know what was going through his head. He wasn't a very social guy, not like Nolan Shahid from L.A., who was a very social, friendly guy. So I never talked to him. I do know that it was funny. My dad was there at that track meet, and I rented a video camera for. I asked him to film the race, and the camera is just all over. It's hard to see much of the race because he had never used such a device before. But he did catch us coming down the straightaway in the final straightaway, and this kid, this guy Nolan, excuse me, not Nolan, this the Ashton Brown from New York, and was the whole time we were coming down the straightaway, he kept looking over his shoulder, trying to figure out, God, is this guy going to get me or not? Because typically, at the end of those races, both of those races, we were quite a bit ahead of all the other competition. It was a two-man race. And he didn't quite know what to think about me because he'd never seen me run before. And he was looking over his shoulder to make sure he could stay ahead of me. Little did he know I was dying.
Well.
And the other guy, Nolan Shaheed, told me after the race, he said, he'd never raced against me either. And we came around the last turn together, neck and neck. And he said, I looked over at you, and he said, I knew I didn't have you beat. Which was a compliment, because little did he know then that I also was dying. I was able to put a scare into both of them, because I do have a pretty competitive nature on the track, and I love getting up near guys on their shoulder at the last bit and gutting it out. That was the highlight of the race.
Well, you know, I saw that video your father took, and bless his heart, but that is like the worst video I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
Funny.
Up in the
it's
sky,
funny.
Out of the bleachers.
I made a mistake of telling him that after he gets the race to shine it on the scoreboard, because they would have a listings of all the people. And what state they were from, their time and everything. And he was looking for that scoreboard with the camera on, and it was you can get dizzy watching that.
Well, good. I think. I wanted to get all that running stuff down. I think it's very cool and interesting. Who knows what the history of Alaska track and field and running will be years ahead. But so let's back up then, and I guess let's maybe go along your track and engineering, and maybe start in high school, how you got going in the direction you ended up going.
I came into high school shy, skinny, retiring kid, unsure of himself, not great grades, and they entered me into this sort of intermediate track at high school. If you remember, they had the lower track, the intermediate, and the upper track. And this was really all academics. And the upper track were obviously kids who were bright. And they sort of tailored the classes to the kids, depending on how you tested. And I was in intermediate, and stuck with the program, and I think I had more potential, really, than I knew about. Maybe I was lazy. I don't know. You know, you just don't know. You don't know yourself when you're that age. I didn't. And in my my mother was very influential in observing me and influencing me and getting me to change, and she thought that I was really underachieving, was actually a pretty smart kid, and she said, senior year, she said, you're moving up to the advanced. And being the obedient kid I was, I said, oh, well, okay, whatever that means. Well, it was a pretty big step academically, and I was suddenly in the advanced math classes and the physics. And English and things like that, but it was a bit of a struggle. But I was able to do it. And I found that I really liked physics a lot. Initially wasn't very good at it, but totally fascinated by the subject. And I got good enough grades, you know, I got by. I don't remember what my grade point average was at all. But after that year, I of course graduated, and we didn't have very much money in the family, and there wasn't an option to go away to any fancy schools or anything. Matter of fact, my parents had a kid that year, and the option was to go to City College of San Francisco, which was right across the street from the high school, which seemed pretty unglamorous. But I didn't care that much. I didn't have a huge horizon. Again, I have to say that about myself. The kids nowadays are thinking about colleges in Montana and Wyoming and New Jersey and Utah, and I never even thought about that kind of stuff. Not a clue. So going to City College because we were having another kid and parents didn't have money for two, fine with me, you know. You just did what you did. And City College was actually a good school. At that time it was free, and the teachers were excellent. The classes were full, a lot of engineering students. And
how did you get going on engineering to begin with?
My mother influenced me on that. She said, I think you should go into engineering. You look like you have that kind of bent. And I think she was smart about that. I did like it. I can't say I liked it. I didn't know what an engineer was. But I didn't mind the science and the math. My favorite subjects were English literature and history, actually. But I'm sure she was being very pragmatic about getting jobs and moving up, and engineering was would have been one of the things she would have pushed no matter what. And I was pretty malleable at that time. I didn't know. I liked the physics and the math. Was not an A student, but I still liked it, and stuck with it. You know, stayed through that course. Going to the University of Santa Clara. I got a state scholarship, which was very handy. And it was just a path that opened up to me. It was a challenge the whole time. I mean, the engineering school was not easy. I barely had a 3.0, I'm sure. But I didn't mind the work. I liked my fellow students. I didn't have anything else I really wanted to pursue. And I was determined to finish something that, even though it was hard, I was not going to quit, no matter what. Reaching that conclusion, walking home one night from the train station back up to Santa Clara, I am not going to fail. And I didn't. Made it through. I'm not sure I still knew exactly what an engineer was, although maybe much more of a better idea, but so much of it is learning while you're on a job.
And we should say briefly that I did my part to keep you from passing classes during those years.
You were a great help in keeping me from passing. Inevitably.
Say a little bit about those.
Inevitably, I'd have a test the next day, and I'd be studying hard in the middle of the week, and Dan O'Neill would show up in my room with two pretty senoritas and four bottles of wine, and hey, get up, we're going out. I can't, I got a test tomorrow. Nah, bullshit. Get up, we're going out. Next thing I know, we'd be climbing up a fire ladder at Stanford's campus into the top floor of a girl's dorm for a party. I can't thank you enough, Dan.
You did pass those tests.
Not all of them, Dan. Rounding me out a little bit, what you're trying to say. I had a good time in Santa Clara. I made some lifelong friends there. John Paulson, Jim Ringstad, Fred Santana, of course. John and Fred are dead now. John O'Brien, Jerry Doomer. Guys I could call up tomorrow and we'd have instantly great conversations. Steve Longto was just a lot of good people, good lifetime friends there. It was a nice place to go to school, actually.
Just to back up a second, you mentioned that parents didn't have a lot of money and City College was your only option. You have a sister who's a year older. Wasn't she going to Lone Mountain?
Yeah, she got first pick. They were always very careful about her. I don't know if I'm putting words in anybody's story or not, but it was a good school, good safe school. I don't know. I mean, I would.
It's looking off again. Let's see. I'm gonna see if I'm doing it there now. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly went on there, but she did go to Lone Mountain. Which eventually merged with USF. And I went to I did end up going to Santa Clara.
Yeah, but anyway, it was one of those private schools that had pretty tuition.
Yeah.
But City College did you well for what you were.
Did me very well. I got a damn good education there. They had excellent teachers. I really valued that experience a lot. And then I could also go over to visit you at St. Mary's College and go to the parties and dances and visit the campus life on the various occasions. And you again would be trying to round me out a little bit, Dan.
let's see. Yeah, say a little more about college days and then we'll bring you up north and continue on engineering. Parties, girls.
Oh.
Just whatever you want.
Well, no. Yeah, I have to say that the City College years was continuation of maturing and meeting and developing relationships with girls that I'd known in high school in the city, and guys, of course, and different parties. And everybody matures a lot in those ages. Going to Santa Clara was quite a bit different, a whole different type of people in a sense. Different backgrounds, and certainly changes your socialization skills, and you mature and develop in so many ways, especially when you're living on a campus like that. It definitely matured me that way. And you start looking more at the horizons, you know. You start thinking about the world in general and the possibilities that are out there. And you're not so bound by the parental social bungee cords that are on your life that you don't even know are there sometimes, you know. You start thinking for yourself. It's all part of that growing up, you know. You go from 18 to 22, and it's a good time to grow up, a good time to start challenging yourself. And like saying, I'm not going to fail in engineering school. And then when you get out of college, you say, well, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, which are maybe the kinds of things that other kids do after high school. But I wasn't one of those kind of kids. You mature in a lot of ways. You sit around and talk about things like philosophy and your thoughts and who you think you are, and long, all night long intellectual discussions with people similar to you. Those are rich experiences. I was lucky enough to have a lot of friends that like to do things like that.
Okay, so we have just moved into the van here because we noticed the wind was showing up on the tape. And I should say, we've been out here overnight in this camper van, and later we'll say a little bit about how it is Jim came to be free on yesterday, mid-Thursday, to come out camping. But right now I see the light is blinking, indicating this tape is about done, so I'm gonna switch tapes.